So, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, right? But if I were a betting man, I bet you I could pick any woman in here and look them dead in the eye and tell them their ideal man. I could. And I'd probably get it 90%. But I could also do the same thing for men. I could look at any man in here and call them up front and look them dead in the eye and tell them who their ideal woman is. It's not because I'm clairvoyant or, you know, I have some kind of special powers, because I don't. But I'll tell you that one of the things that I love to do around people is to observe. You guys may not know this, but I observe every one of you that I come in contact with. And I observe, and I kind of, you know, formulate some opinions about your likes and your dislikes, and I listen to the conversations you have with other people. And yeah, you guys probably didn't know that, right? I listen to the conversations you have with other people, and I listen to kind of how you respond, and I ask questions. I ask you guys questions all the time about stuff, and it just goes in. So I think that, you know, I'm kind of like picking up some vibes here from folks that I know. But also, I've had the opportunity to counsel many people, either premarital or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you want to call those relationships these days, and as well as married couples. And I've seen some things, and so here's it. What I've discovered is that girls, ladies, want pretty much the same thing. See, if a lady in here, you know, and it goes something like this. You want what women want. Man, if you ever wanted to know what women want, today is the day to start taking notes. If you ever always wanted, like, I don't know what she wants. I don't know what she wants. I'm going to tell you what she wants. All right, right now, she, her perfect man is a man who's a strong, sensitive leader. It's a man who is a good listener. And he's thoughtful, and he's considerate, and he listens to her opinion, but it's a man who is compassionate and who makes decisions covered by prayer. Am I hitting anybody yet? It's like, yeah, sign me up for that man. But I'm not done yet, because y'all have more requirements in the ideal man. It's a man who's a good communicator. He don't hold things in. He talks, and he's like, and he's not afraid to be vulnerable. He's like, baby, let me tell you what's hurting me, inside of me. Can I tell you? Y'all know it's true. He's goal-oriented. He has a plan, and he's working his plan. He works hard. He's not thoughtful. He's not lazy. But you see him out there like, that's my man working. And even though you want him to come home and hang out with you, you're happy that he's a hard worker and he's not lazy. He's a provider. You love it when he's telling you, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm working, and because my mom's at home and I'm helping to take care of my mom, and I'm putting my little brother through school and my little nephew. You all love that, right? It's like, oh, he's taking care of his family. Oh. And he's got investments. He's managing money, and he's very thoughtful about his financial plan, and he knows what he's doing in his financial plan. And he loves kids. You see him with kids, and he's on the ground playing with kids. You're like, oh, he loves kids too. I'm like, God, I can't take it. He's so good. And no work is beneath him. He'll do anything. He'll wash dishes. He's like, baby, let me iron for you. And you can just sum this up into this, right? You want a strong, godly leader with a soft and sensitive heart. I can tell you, if any single girl inside here, a single lady inside here, all the single ladies, put your hands up. Anyway. Sister Thelma's laughing at that, so I'm wondering. Anyway, if I should go up to you, and I'm not going to call anybody's name because I don't want to embarrass anybody here, but let's say we had a single lady in here named Pam, and I hope we don't, because now you're getting it wrong. I said, Pam, I got a guy I want you to meet. She goes, yeah. I was like, let me describe him to you. He's like a really good leader, and he's sensitive, and he listens well. And I go down this list, And he's just a strong, godly leader. And he's, you know, he's really strong, but he's sensitive too. Pam would be like, where could I meet him? She wouldn't be asking. Some would, but not Pam. She wouldn't be asking for the picture. She would want to know, where can I meet this guy? Because that embodies what women want. And you can say, well, maybe I don't want, you know, maybe he doesn't have to be vulnerable. I don't believe you're telling the truth, but 90% you get in the air. But men, what men want, women, in case you ever wonder what men want, here's what men want. Men want her to look good. She's got to look attractive. Now, she doesn't got to look attractive to anybody else, but she's got to look attractive to me, right, to the dude. And it has nothing to do with age or body type or anything. It's just want her to look good for him. And the second thing is that he wants her to be fun-loving. And we got kids in here, so I tailored the words because I know we have kids in here, but you get my drift. He wants her to be fun-loving outside of the house, inside of the house, and in all the rooms in the house. All right, you get it, all right. If men want that, he's like, oh, baby, just have some fun. And men want her to be funny. But she doesn't have to be funny herself. She's just got to laugh at his jokes. She's got to think he's funny. And you could be as corny as all get up. You could tell dad jokes all day long. He's so funny. She wants the guy to be a personal, he wants the girl to the lady to be a personal fan. His biggest, you know, like cheerleader. Like, oh, my man is so good. So good. Ooh, he's so good. I can't take it. And he wants her to be a supporter. He comes up with some crazy ideas. You know, say, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. He's like, okay, baby, let's see how we can work this idea. Whether he's watching sports or anything, she'll come down and she'll watch sports with him and just support him. If he's playing soccer, she's out there at the field sweating up a storm, bringing him water. Yeah, you always wonder what men want. That's what men want. And he wants a happy homemaker. Now, some people like cringe at this. Let's just, hey, follow me for a second. He wants some that place that when he comes home, home is happy. Whatever, you know, that's all he wants. He just wants to be a whole bunch of stress. Now, if you notice that our list is a little bit smaller than the other list. And there's a reason for that. Because that's the way God designed us. And you could sum up her this way. Attractive, godly, fun-loving, supportive cheerleader. If you ever wonder what men want, men want somebody who's attractive to them. Godly, fun-loving, supportive cheerleader. I tell you that many times, sometimes, maybe one time, go with me on this. A woman gets married and she thinks, I don't have to look good anymore. I got my man. And when I was growing up, you guys heard me mention this before. They have these scarf things that they used to call tie head. They wear a tie head, and they had separate dresses when I was growing up. Ladies wear, they're like house dress. They used to call them dusters. I don't know what a duster is. I think you use them to dust, or you wear them when you're dusting. If you didn't wear duster and tie head before, don't wear duster and tie head. You get married. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And the reason why I know all of this is not because I've observed, even though that's part of the reason. It's not because I've spoken to you and because that's part of the reason. But it's not because I've counseled people, that's part of the reason, but because that's the way that God designed us. Here's how God designed us. And what women want and what men want. It's found, and everything can be found in the Bible. It's found in Ephesians 5, 26, 20, 21. Through 33. And it starts out, it says, furthermore, all right, that's the word I left out there. It says, furthermore, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Like, oh, Gary, no, submission message here. Like, oh, hold, just go with me for a second here. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, which says that, you know, God is saying, what I'm about to ask you to do here is not about the other person. What I'm about to ask you here has nothing to do with the other person. What I'm asking you to do here is something that I'm asking you to do for me. And he says, this is how you do it. And then he starts to speak to each person. He says, all right, that's our premise. He says, for wives, this is how you submit. This means you submit to your husband as unto the Lord. So whatever kind of like devotion that you want to give to the Lord, you need to start thinking about your husband that way. See, Sarah called her husband Lord. You can say daddy too. Daddy. As a church submit to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husband in everything. It's kind of deep. It says, husbands, this means you should love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And he gave up himself for her, the church. Christ calls the church her, to make her three things: holy, clean, and washed. We'll pause here. Because what Jesus did for the church, he said, church, you guys, I know you guys are messed up, but you know what? I'm going to look at you as holy. And holy means, literally, it means set apart. He's like, these are all the other people. This is my church. I'm separating it. And I, you know, and he's like, got all these, he's like, I don't care. I don't see those because I've cleansed you and I've washed you. And no matter what you have, you are holy. You are seen in my eyes as perfect. And that's how Christ loved the church. And he says, husband, love your wife like that. And he said he did this to present her to himself. So it's funny. Christ sees the church as holy, set apart. And he did this to present her, the church, back to himself. So he's getting it back. When he sees the church as perfect and the church is giving it back, he gets it back, what he's putting in. And he sees without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And she's holy and without fault. And husband, this is how we're supposed to love our wives. We need to look at her, and she could be 80 years old and wrinkled like a prune. We need to see her as without spot or wrinkle. She could be all blemished up. I'm like, that's my baby. She'd be looking good. It's like she's 80 years old. I don't care, man. But every day she looks so much better than the day before. And you're not just faking it. You're looking on and you're just appreciating that. And you're looking at her. And even though she's got all these faults, she's like, she's set apart. She's not like them other scallywags. Them other women. She my woman. Scallywag, yeah, that's the word. The word for today. And that's the way a husband ought to love their wives, as they love their bodies, because a man who loves his wife, so when you're giving that to your wife, he's actually loving himself, because all that he gives to her in setting her apart comes back to him. Fourfold. So he's like, you're like hanging out on this problem of submission, man, you don't even get it. When you do and follow and you recognize what I'm telling you here, you get it back tenfold over. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And he's like saying there, no one hates his body because, you know, the wife is joined to him and he feeds it and he cares for it and he takes care of it. And all those instructions are to the husband. You know why he gave the instructions a whole lot more? Because the woman list is a whole lot longer. And the men list, they're more complicated. And he says this, in case you forgot, I want to sum up everything that I just said. Each man must love his wife, and the wife must respect her husband. That's the whole Ephesians 5, the whole submission thing. It's just simply that. It says, man, love your wives, and wives, respect your husband. That's your role. That's your role. And people are like, oh, man. But I want to tell you something. There's not a married man here who would disagree with their wife's role. There's not a married woman here who would disagree with her husband's role. But people disagree with their role. If you get what I'm saying, I don't like my role, but I like their role. I don't like my role, but I like their role. If nobody does their role, ain't nobody going to get any roles met. And that's what you're supposed to happen. And I want to tell you here that many times you hear a message like this. And if you're here without your spouse or without your bae or without your whoever, the first thing that goes off in your mind is, I can't wait to text them to go listen to the Periscope feed because this message is for them. I bet you every man in here right now thinking, I want my wife to hear this. Every woman in here is thinking, I want my husband to hear this. But God's saying this to you this morning. This message is only for two people. It's for you and the person in the mirror. Those are the only two people that this message is for. So if you get the urge to do that, don't, unless it comes from a pure heart where it's judging, where you're judging yourself. Because the fact is, true marital happiness only comes from a recognition, understanding, and embracing God's roles for us in our relationships. And so when we do that, you know, when we do this, kind of great things happen. So the first thing that happens is that we get, when we recognize and embrace our roles, we get provision. Another way of saying provision, I could say satisfaction. We get provided for. We get satisfaction. Because the fact is, the greatest need that God has created us with is the need to feel loved and the need to feel, well, I just say the need to feel loved. He's created us with a need to feel loved. And loved in many different formats. And that's simply the way God designed us. He designed a man's greatest need to feel respected. He designed a man to feel as if the woman is respecting him like as unto the Lord. And when she respects him like that, it fills up his love tank. And his love tank, when your love tank is empty, it's a bad thing. You're dissatisfied. You're not provided for. But when a woman feels cherished, when she feels nourished, when she feels protected, and she'll feel secure, then her God-designed greatest need is met. And that fills up her love tank when she's nourished and cherished and felt secure in the love. And that's what doing your role does. It fills up the other person's love tank. And that's base level. The next thing does it does is provides protection. So you see, when you get married, every one of your love needs gets heightened. You get in your mind, you know, I talk to a lot of people. You're like, child, Gary, Pastor Gary, Uncle Gary, whatever you want to call me, you over there, you don't know what it's like out here. It's hard to stay good. It's hard to follow the principles because I got some hormones running through my body and it's hard. You think it's hard being single? Try being married. Every one of those things goes through the roof. It's like what happens here is like, it's like because your expectations are high. When you're here, your expectations are here. You're not married. You're just like, oh, geez, I wish. When you're here, it's like, she's lying out right next to me. It's hard. And so when the other person is not doing it, the need to have that, the decision, the desire to have that need fulfilled gets like off the chain. And oftentimes people are like, if I'm not getting it here, I got to get it someplace. If you want to protect your relationship, you better start doing your roles because your husband needs it and your wife needs it because there's going to be some woman at work or at school who's going to look at you and start gassing you up. Woman, ladies, they're going to be gassing your dude up. You say, ooh, I love seeing a picture with your kids. You're just having such a good time with your kids. Remember that love kids? She's like, check. Ooh, I see him in church. Prayer, check. She's like, check it off the list. And she's like, and she's just gassing him up, telling him what a good man he is. And man, you're not doing your role. You're not making her feel special. You know what's happening? There's some dude over there named Walter. Actually, I don't know if a Walter, because, you know, pick a name, Jimmy. And Jimmy's walking by, and Jimmy's seeing her car, and Jimmy's like, takes out his tire gauge and he checks her tire. And Jimmy goes into the office and says, hey, Michelle, guess what? Your tire's low. Give me your keys. Let me go put some air in your tire. And Jimmy's driving the car that you bought, man. Jimmy's driving that car to the gas station. And he's putting air in, and he noticed that the tank is half full, and Jimmy fills it up, and he takes it back, here are your keys. And Jimmy is like, Jimmy! When you don't do your role, when you don't care and protect for her, there's somebody else out there who wants to do that. So when you do your role, it provides provision, protection. But those, one is baseline, one is right here. But if you really want to be happy and healthy and high in life, you get to the other one. By the way, you know, there's a reason why a man leaves his father and mother, or a woman leaves her father and mother, and gives up their freedom. And that reason is because they want provision and they want protection. And they want this. They want promotion. And you have promotion. Promotion is an elevation. What happens is that your feelings, when you get in all those things met, your baseline, your provision, and your protection, man, what happens is you start going up into the stratosphere. You, man, your feelings of love and intimacy starts to blow up. And whether when you're a woman, you can't wait for your husband to come home to love on him. When you come home, let me tell you, generally speaking, when I come in from a business trip, generally speaking, there are some exceptions. My wife, and she's at a continuing education today. She like jump up and down like this. Literally, my sons will tell you that 9 times out of 10, she jumps up and down. It's like, ah, that is a whole other. Because those expectations are high and those are being met. And when she comes home, and you know, as I was preparing for this, the thought occurred to me is like, it reminded me of a song that had something like this. She can feel the beating of my heart and me, and have some nice pillow talk. That Shaggy wrote that, in case you guys wonder who that is. But the reality is that's what happens. You get elevated. You get promoted. Man, you think she will be dying to do all those things that you want. She'll be trying to look good, you know, and stuff like that. And by the way, when you make a habit of doing that, your wife starts, man, I'm just talking to you right now, your wife starts to look younger. She looks younger, and pretty soon she looks like 15 years younger. And if you do it a lot, she even comes out to be like 4'11". And people think that she's your son's girlfriend, right? And you just feel good because, yeah, that's my baby. Y'all think I'm joking. I'm like dead serious. The better you treat your wife is the younger she looks. And the happier she is and the more smiles she has. It comes from recognizing your role. So what's the problem? If we all know this, what's the problem? The problem always comes back to the same thing over and over and over and over again. The problem is sin. That problem has been going way back. And every time sin takes us out of our normal prescription that God sets down. And you know, back to our story in the garden, because this whole series is based on Genesis 2. And 3, about Adam and Eve in the garden. So we got to take it back to the garden. See, in the garden, sin came in the form of a snake, of a serpent. And what the serpent did was, he just put the power of suggestion. Did God really say, he don't want you to do that? Did God really say that? Did God really say you mustn't eat of any tree or fruit in the garden? Did God really say that? It starts to put a suggestion in your head. In today's world, sin comes in the form of media. And the suggestions that go inside your head when you watch TV, and you watch the movies, it makes divorced families, co-parenting and single parenting, you just go down the list. It makes premarital sex. It makes all those things seem like it's normal. It's commonplace, which is really kind of outside of the prescription of what God wants, right? But it makes things so commonplace because, I mean, I was speaking to a young lady about a year ago, and she was telling me that. She goes, you know, I went out with a guy 3 times and we haven't slept yet. I was like, really? Why 3? Why not 2? And it's become so commonplace because sin comes in the form of media. It's just showing you that everybody's doing this. That people wouldn't think of getting married without seeing whether they like the sample, because nobody goes to the mall and buys some mall food without getting a little sample on a toothpick. And that messes up with God's plan. God's like, look, I got some plans for you. And what's even when you like and you love your woman, the society have this machismo thing about men got to be men and we got to be men, and like, yeah. And woman has got to be liberated. And by the way, some of that stuff is really good because men got to be men, not the pansy patsy man. It's got to be strong and sensitive at the same time. And women, you know, they needed women's lib because women were being treated unfairly and so all of that. But it's taking it up to another level now. I mean, there's a popular singer. He loves his wife. He talks about his wife. Well, he loves his wife. But the way that he speaks, and some of you guys, I'm going to get in trouble with my young people here. He's saying that even when his wife is not a problem, he's like, I got 99 problems. And his wife is not one of them. And you know what he says? And the bee ain't one. There's no pun in there, right? What are we doing? The list goes on and on and on. And did God really say that we shouldn't eat? Did God really say that you can't call your wife a bee? God didn't really say that. When we disregard the principle of recognition, it shows up in other areas too. When men don't recognize and embrace their role, they become no longer equipped to be that strong, God-fearing leader with a sensitive heart. They've lost that ability. So, in some of the problems that we see in our men that's caused by sin, and we see it this, you know, we see that sometimes a dude becomes domineering. He's like, I'm Tarzan, you Jane. I hunt, you clean. I man, you woman. Become domineering and woman like, I don't want to submit to that. He's a dictator. He's a pain in the gluteus maximus. Or sometimes they become passive. And he's like, he's there, but he's like nothing. He ain't got no plan for the family. He's like, how are we paying for the kids' college? I don't know. How are we paying the bills in the house? I don't know. How are we doing anything? I don't know. Click, click. But I do know sports. Or sometimes they become distracted. They're not even, they're there, they come in the house, but they got other interests outside. You're outside hanging with the fellows, hanging out, doing their own thing, and they're just not really, it's like, you take care of that stuff, I'll take care of my stuff. Or they're immoral. You know, when I was in Jamaica a few years ago, I remember walking along the beach because I don't like to sleep. I don't know what's wrong with me. So I wake up really early on vacation. I'm like climbing the walls to get out of the hotel and do something. So I went walking down by the beach, and There was a guy in the guardhouse by the beach, guarding people from the other properties, some coming on the beach. And he's like, hey, come here. I go over. And he's having another conversation with another dude. And he said to the other dude, tell this man that it's impossible for a man to have one woman. So I'm like, well, I have one woman. He's like, are you married? I'm like, yes. And you only have one woman? I'm like, yes. He's like, you must be a newlywed. Like, no, I've been married, the time was 24 years. It's 24 years. Couldn't believe it. Because in our society and our media stuff said, especially if you're from the islands, there's one of the ladies in here who says, man, I worry about having a Jamaican man. Jamaican men are trash. I disagree because I'm Jamaican. But women, the same things. The same things that sin has prevented you from being that godly, attractive, fun-loving, supportive cheerleader. And you too go through the same issues, right? Sometimes you're domineering. A dude can't get a word in because you're just taking charge of everything and you just da-da-da-da-da. And you're enabling. You just said you become a beating stick for him. That ain't good either because if you're a beaten stick, you can't be a helpmeet in any way, shape, or form. Because you're not contributing anything. Or you could be distracted, hanging out with the sisters and going out with the girls more often than you go out with your husband. Right? And or you too. Because generally speaking, men are not messing around by themselves. You too become immoral. When you don't follow the things that you're supposed to do, and the reason behind all of this comes back to the same thing. It comes back to sin. And oftentimes, the sin is something that somebody caused on you from a long time ago. And we're going to be talking about that at camp this year. But sometimes people abuse you and stuff, or sometimes it could be something that's happening right now and it's messing with your head and messing with your mind and messing with, like, oh, I'm not going to be worthy enough to be somebody. And like, that's nonsense, because I want to tell you this morning, that Jesus, but God, that no matter what's in your past or no matter what's your present, God wants to break the power of sin in your life and in my life and in everybody else in life. Sin has no power over you. The song that we were singing, that death could not hold you. Now and forevermore the same. Because of Jesus, the power of sin has been broken when Jesus overcame the grave. And Jesus wants to tell you this morning, right here, right now, that your past doesn't have to be your future. Your present doesn't have to be your future. If you're right here struggling with something that happened 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, or last week, God is wanting to say right now that you could be at ground zero, brand new, starting over right now. Whether you're saved or you're not saved, he wants to tell you that the power of sin has been broken. All you have to do is take it, to take that power. And single people, I want to chat with you for just 1 second. Because I promise you that this series would be about married people and about single people. You, I told you last week and every week, that you have an advantage. You have an advantage because if you're married, you got to make it work. You're stuck. So you have no choice but to make it work. When you're single, if you've seen that some dude is possessing all of these things, you got to take a stock. Man, if you see that some woman is possessing, you got to take a stop and you're like, wait a minute. That old song, hold up, wait a minute. I would tell you that you need to see a pattern of a year to 2 years of constant change before I tell you, with anybody coming here. And I'll tell you guys, if you guys ever ask my opinion, I'm going to say it nice. Here's a watch item for you. Because I want you to have a happy and healthy marriage. So what's the solution? Sin is the problem, and we know what the good thing is, then what's the solution? Well, the solution really is, I'll say it's kind of three things. It's a tripartite. I wanted to use that word in a sentence. You know, Jonathan always be talking some big words to me, like, so I wanted to bust out one today. Tripartite. I want him to Google it. You don't have to Google it. You know what it means, probably. It means three parts. It's three principles of recognition. The first thing that I want you to recognize is, husbands, we have a responsibility to our wives. And you know how a woman spells love when it says, husbands, love your wife? I believe she spells it S-E-C-U-R-I-T-Y. She understands love through the lens of security. And so we got to demonstrate in actions. We got to demonstrate in actions that we love them, that we care for them and their well-being above everybody else. We've said that this is how we treat all the women, but you're set apart. You, I'm checking your tires. You, I'm gassing up your car. You, I'm making sure that every single thing about you, I see it as perfect. Even though I know you're not perfect, but I see you and I treat you as perfect. And in our actions, we got to do that. But we also got to communicate in words. And there's something about words. We have to tell our wives, and men, you got to, if you're serious about some girl, you got to tell them that you love them. And they don't want to hear it the first time and say, when it changes, I'll tell you. They want to hear it all the time. I remember, it took me a long time to know this. This is the most frustrating thing. Donna used to ask me all the time, you love me, you love me, you love me, you love me. We were dating. Are we ever going to get married? She's not here, so I can just go crazy. Yeah, you're married. You're going to engage me. I'm dead. I know it's, I'm dead. But she's a forgiving woman, so she'll forgive me. You got to tell them you love them, and tell them without necessarily expecting something, because I told you I love you. And the third thing in that is that you got to have a plan. Security requires a plan around security. And security, the plan has to be a plan that she has to know that God is in this plan. If you really want her to like, just like be on off, you like, oh, this man, what a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. She's got to know, it's like, baby, she sees you praying about it, says, God, I commit this plan to you, so, you know, da 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 da. And she sees, so this plan's got to be fueled by prayer. It's got to be action oriented. In other words, she's got to see you working a plan. You can't tell every day, baby, I got a plan. I got a plan. So when are you going to execute it? So just give me time. The plan's got to have some action behind it, because faith without works is dead, the brother of Jesus wrote. And the third thing that it's got to be backed by wisdom. Man, the best thing that you could do is read a whole bunch of Proverbs, because it's packed with wisdom. And he's like, God, I need wisdom right now. And it's funny, God has an answer for that. He says, like, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask for it, because I give it freely. You go in and you do that. He comes and says, hey, honey, he's like, hey, I've been thinking about this. I've been praying about this. Hey, let's pray about this thing together. And here's what I think that we should do. And here's how we're going to make it work and all this. She really would be just like, ooh, that's my man. Let's go inside the room. Husbands, wives, let me talk to you for a second. So I'm running out of time here. So for wives, you know how your husband spells love? He spells it H-O-N-O-R. Or if you're from the islands, there's an extra letter in there that's all about you. H-O-N-O-U-R. And for the men, a little bit more simple, but a little bit harder to do, right? Because sometimes we ain't living up to what I'm going to ask you to do. You got to gas your dude up publicly. You got to gas him up publicly. And don't bash him publicly. I've told you the time when Donna has been most mad at me. I told you guys about that before. I fell asleep in the middle of an argument. It's not a recommendation. The time I was most mad at her was at camp the first year we got married, 1992. And I was livid. I was fit to be tied. Brother had smoke coming out of his ears. And back then, they put everybody on teams except the activities director, right? And so everybody else, so I was on the team, and my wife, they put her on another team. And they came up with a chair. The chair was the other team, and I was the captain, so remember this. The chair was, go back, go back, go back into the woods. Your team ain't got no power, and your coach is no good. I say, go back, go back, go back into the woods. Your team ain't got no... And then Donna was there like, go back, go back, go all up in front of my face. I was hot. I didn't even want to go in a room with her that night. Don't bash him publicly. He can take it from anybody else, but he can't take it from you. You got to also gas him up privately. Guys love the woman hanging with them. If your husband plays soccer, and go hang with him sometime. He's watching sports. There's like something that's a little zen about that. And honor him intimately, with intimacy. Don't make your dude feel bad because he wants to love you that way or he wants to be loved that way. Because that's the way that God designed us. And I want to tell you, unless there's something physical, because sometimes there's something physical, if your dude doesn't want to, there's something wrong. It's not the same with woman. There's something wrong. Physically or some other ways, there's something that's wrong. So remember that. He spells honor in those ways. And the final one is husband and wife together. We have a responsibility to God. If you want to know how to live out this principle of recognition, it's husband and wife together to God. And I call that devotion. And it starts with a base of righteousness. It's a base where both people come before God and lay it out before God. And say, God, hear my faults. Here are the things that I'm struggling with. And both of them are doing it. They are confessing to one another. They are confessing to God. And there's this kind of like a righteousness that happens. And it forms a basis. And I can't stress this enough. People's like, oh, you're supposed to say that to your pastor. I'm like, look, man, I'm telling you. And it's praying together. It's hard to stay angry praying together. And it's worshiping together. Because if you can't, it's difficult to worship together when you're angry. So here's a promise. And with this, I'm going to bring the praise team out. I promise to do my best to recognize and fulfill my God-designed role in my marriage relationship. I'm going to invite you, actually just stay right where you are. I'll invite you to stand in a second. As the worship team comes out, I want to pray for you right now. We're just going to ask you to close your eyes. There are two requests that I want to put out to you that I want to pray with you about. The first one is this. If you are struggling with anything, with the power of sin or some struggle, some stronghold, and you're struggling with it and you want God to manifest His power in your life, whether it's becoming a follower of Jesus for the first time or you've been following Him, but this is something. If you want me to pray for you, I'm not going to call you to the front. You can come speak to me afterwards. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anyone? I'm not going to prolong this. Is there anyone? I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I see that hand. Anybody else? Yeah, I see that hand. The other thing is that if there is anyone here who, God, something hit them this way in a way that they realize in their relationship with their husband or their wife that they need some work and they need some prayer. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you also. Is there anybody here? I see the hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Last chance. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you have broken the chains. Lord, that all we have to do is lift it up and drop it to the side. Lord, I pray that you right now will, in the spirit of where all those people raise their hands, the Lord, that you'll just break the mental chain and emancipate them from the slavery of sin. Lord, we declare it broken in Jesus' name. And Lord, for those who are struggling with errors in their marriage and not having their God-designed roles or not following it the way that you would have them follow it, Lord, or some of the other principles, that today you'll give them a fresh wind and a fresh fire through your Holy Spirit.